as they just remind you of the two prophetic words that came, or interpretation that came, that the Lord wants us to taste and see what he has for us, that he loves us, and that there's much more that he has for us that we need to take and taste and see. It requires a response from us. It requires us being active. We can't taste and experience what God has for us by being passive. He's not going to put us on an IV so we can experience it. He's saying, it's there, come and experience it. And then the other part of the word says that he wants us to take on a warrior mentality. A mentality which says that we're not going to allow the enemy just to run all over us, but instead we're going to respond against the works of darkness, and we are going to take a stand, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, and we're going to see the works of darkness brought down. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray my continue to speak to us through your word this morning. Give us insights and understanding. Build our faith and glorify Christ, we pray. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. This morning I want to share just a word of encouragement. I've called it Hope in God. Hope in God. As I've looked around our society, I realize that this is an area that is waning in our American society. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go through. For those who are new, an outline of what I hope to share is there in the middle of your bulletin. But turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. There are different types of hopes. And in my time of sharing this morning, I'll speak about what I call natural hope, and then I'll talk about biblical hope. And so it's important for us to know the difference, or else you can end up becoming discouraged if you don't realize the difference between natural hope and biblical hope. So the writer of Proverbs here says, in verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So the writer of Proverbs is declaring something about hope. And really, he's actually talking about natural hope when he talks about hope being deferred. And so I took time to look up online the meaning of hope, as the world would put it. And Merriam-Webster in online says, hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. So for her, then, hope is a desire that is future, because that's why you have anticipation with it, and it's to cherish that desire with anticipation. The thing is, it's hard to do that without having some sort of time reference to it, to have a desire with anticipation without some time reference to it. And so natural hope tends to have some sort of time reference attached to it. Have this desire. And so here, when the writer of Proverbs says hope deferred makes the heart sick, he's talking about this hope that has a desire that is linked to certain time frames. That's why it can be deferred. And when the time comes, it doesn't materialize. And so the heart gets sick. The Hebrew word actually means the heart gets weak. That's natural hope. You're hoping for things, putting your trust in things, and it doesn't come to pass. Psalm 33 and verse 16 says this. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hope in you. So, natural hope is put in things or people. Here the psalmist says, there's a false hope to put your hope in horse. He's talking about the context of war. You know, in the context of war, the horse is the animal that they use a lot to pull the chariots, as well as horsemen would ride them. And so you can get into the enemy's camp and do all sort of havoc if you have a good, strong horse. And so if your army has a lot of horses, it looks as if you should be victorious, and you put your hope in that. And the psalmist is saying, you shouldn't do that. The king, despite how big your army is, it's likely to fail you if you put your hope and trust in it. At some point in time, it's going to fail you. If you put your trust and hope in this strong horse, at some point in time, it's going to fail you, and you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to feel downcast. And so the psalmist is encouraging the people of God not to put their all of their hope and all of their trust in things or in people. If you look around our society, you'll see a lot of people who have lost hope because they put their hope in things and in people. It's natural for us to want to see different things, to see things change. We're born with this desire, but the Lord is really calling us not to put our confidence in people and things for the fulfillment of those desires. If you think about it, even politically, I mean, a lot of people end up being discouraged and hopeless because they put their trust in this particular politician or this particular politician or this particular political party, this particular. And when they come into power, a few things get done and you're still at square one. And so they end up being discouraged and hopeless because they're putting their trust in things and not in the one who is unchangeable, not in the Lord. And so this hope leads to us being discouraged because it's in things or people or circumstances. The psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse 5, he's talking to himself and he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you in despair? Why have you become disturbed within me? Something is wrong. Why are you so downcast? Why are you so depressed?" And he answers himself. He speaks to himself and says, "Hope in God. No hope in the circumstances. No hope in the people. No hope in the horse. The horse can become a metaphor for things apart from God." And if you put all of your hope and your trust in things apart from God, you're going to end up at some point being in despair. You're going to end up at some point being discouraged. You're going to end up at some point being downcast. And it sneaks upon you. It sneaks upon me. And when it sneaks up, you have to step back and say, "Why am I downcast? Why am I in despair? Why am I feeling this depression coming on me? Why?" And I have to remind myself, Joe Campbell, put your hope and your trust in the Lord and not in people. Put your hope and your trust in the Lord and not in some circumstance or something. And that's what the psalmist says to himself, hope in God. And he says, "For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." He realized something was a whack in his way of looking at things. And so he's saying to himself, put your hope, put your confidence, put your trust in the Lord. "For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." You see, verse 6 of that, the psalmist says, "Oh God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. He's trying to encourage himself to put his confidence and trust in the Lord. Because when we get discouraged, my friends, it can lead, I mean, when we all get discouraged, but if we're not careful, it can lead to depression. It can lead to us becoming pessimistic and cynical. Proverbs 23 and verse 17 says this. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with the heavy drinkers of wine or with the gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinkers and the glutton will come to poverty, and the drowsiness will clothe one with rags. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is that when people become discouraged, when they become depressed, they are likely to sit back and start to envy other people. As they see that the things are going well with them, why is it that my circumstances look so dismal? Why is it that things are not changing? And so the writer of Proverbs is saying, do not envy the sinners, but rather live in the fear of the Lord, knowing that God is the one who has your future. And if your future is in God, then your hope will not be cut short. God will come through. So he says, listen, my son, be wise, because when we get discouraged, you're likely to want to hang around, it says in verse 20, the heavy drinkers of wine. Because a lot of people in the world, when they become discouraged, when they get downcast, they resort to all sort of stuff to dull their disappointment. And if you're not careful, you can be drawn towards those things. If you're not careful, you can find yourself drinking a little bit too much because something is not right inside. You are discouraged. So it says, don't hang around the heavy drinkers or the gluttonous eaters of meat. What he's talking about here is people who they're trying to deal with their hopelessness through partying and eating and drinking and having all sort of temporary fun. And you and I know what happens when the temporary fun finishes, the hope and despair is still there. So it says they're going to come to nothing. It's not going to benefit them in the long run. So for you and for me, the safest thing to do and the right thing to do is to put our hope and our trust in the Lord. And so I did some research online because I've looked across this nation. I've seen an increase in hopelessness. An increase in hopelessness. You know, the mental professionals online say this, that hope is an indispensable key to happiness. The unsaved realize that hope is an indispensable key to happiness. So when you look across our country, you find a lot of people are very unhappy because they've lost their hope. They've put their confidence in different things and those things have not come through. And so those who study these things and keep record of these things say that there's been the rate of increase in depression. Or let me put it this way, the rate of depression has increased from 2001 through to the year 2021. Over those 20 years, they have studied and they've seen it. The rate of depression in this country is increasing. It dipped for 2 years, 2018 and 2019, and then here comes COVID and it went right back up. Why? People put their confidence in things and in people, and these things have failed. Those who study these things say, this is CDC, says that depression rate is greatest, and they have the different groups. The rate of depression is greatest amongst those 18 through to 29. You would have thought it would have been the people who are older, who the rate of depression will be higher. But no, it's the young people among whom the rate of depression is higher because as they look at life, they're realizing, I don't know what to do. Everything is failing all around me. I have no confidence. I don't expect anything to change. And so the rate of depression increases amongst them. At a time of life when you should be most optimistic, it's a time when they are the most pessimistic group. And this is studies. This is not me just spouting things. This is what the secular people who study these things say. The They say amongst those 10 to 34, suicide is the second leading cause of death. As people become hopeless and depressed, they take their lives. The first leading cause, they say, is basically accidents. So the second leading cause is suicide. Because people in our society, my friends, have become hopeless. They have seen that as they put their trust in people, that people fail them. They put their trust in systems and the systems fail them. They put their trust in things and the things don't satisfy. That's what happens with natural hope. Yes, you get some things fulfilled here and fulfilled there, but at the end of it all, you end up being in despair. So when the psalmist says, hope deferred made our heart sick, he's talking about natural hope. When the psalmist goes on to say, hope in God, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Now he's talking about biblical hope. The difference between natural hope and biblical hope is that one, it is in God. We put our hope and trust in God, not in people, not in things. And two, we take the time frame off. Because you and I know when you're dealing with God, you can't tell him when he's going to do things and how to do it. He just seems to specialize on coming through at 11:59. When you and I would like for him to come in from 8 o'clock, he's like, why would I come in so soon? I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn to walk with me. So he comes through at last. Sometimes he comes through after 12. When it seems like everything is hopeless, then he comes through. And so he wants you and I to take the time limit off and to put our confidence in him. And so our hope, my friends, is in the Lord. And it makes a world of a difference. Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and about verse 5. This is what the psalmist says. My soul, wait in silence for God only. My hope is from him. He is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Verse 10 says, do not trust in oppression and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon it. And so the psalmist is saying that put your hope and your trust in the Lord and wait silently for him. Because he is your rock. He is my rock. He is my salvation. And the word in the Hebrew for salvation is Yeshua, which means he's my deliverance, he's my help, he's my victory, he's my prosperity, he's all that I need. He will come through in his own time. But when you put our hope and trust in the Lord, he says here, I shall not be shaken. That's verse 6. He's my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Why? My confidence is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. It's not in the circumstances. It's not in people. And it makes a tremendous difference. The psalmist goes on to say that my hope in the Lord is based upon his unfailing love. The fact I know that he loves me gives me reason to have hope. Paul says in Romans 8 that he causes all things to work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so even when things look dismal and things look bad, I can put my hope and trust in God because I know that he loves me. I know that he's going to be there for me. It's based upon the fact that if he said it, he's going to do it. It's based upon his name here put here, which means his character, that he's faithful, he's not a God that he should lie, the writer of Hebrews says. It's based upon the deeds of the Lord. Psalm 146. And verse 5 says, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. And he goes on, he's basically saying, based upon the deeds of the Lord, I can put my hope and my trust and confidence in the Lord. Based upon what he has done in the past, based upon who he is, based upon his word, I know that I can put all of my hope and confidence in him. That's biblical hope. It's not wishful thinking. But it's based on the fact that I know who God is and he will come through. We sing it, if he said it, I believe it. The New Testament makes it even clearer that our hope is in Christ. And Christ himself is our hope. And this speaks about the two types of hope that we have in the Lord. The hope to be with Christ forever. And also the hope that because we are walking with God, God will work in our circumstances. The hope that we have in the Lord leads to us to be able to praise him, to be able to function with gladness. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 and 28. The writer says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. He says, the hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. And what the writer of Proverbs here is saying, that the righteous, you and me, when we put our hope and our trust in the Lord, something flows from that causes you and me to be able to be glad. That's what he says. Let me read it again for you. Proverbs 10 and verse 28. The hope of the righteous is gladness. Paul puts it a different way in Romans 15. He says, the God of all hope will cause joy and peace to arise inside of us. And so what that means, my friend, is that because we have hope and confidence in God for things in the future, right now in the present, we can be glad. Right now in the present, we can rejoice because we know where our confidence is. It's in the Lord. You see, so it's not that I'm denying the circumstances. The circumstances might look bleak. The circumstances might look wavy as Peter walking on the storm. All sort of stuff happening around me. But you know what? I'm not looking at that. I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. I'm focused on him. I'm walking with him. And therefore, I can rejoice. Therefore, I can be glad. And they're wondering, what's wrong with that man? Why is he smiling? Why? Because I serve a good God. That's why I can be glad. I'm not glad about the negative things. I'm glad that I have a confidence in God who will turn things around, who will intervene in the midst of famine, who will make a way, a highway in the midst of the sea, who will part it so we can go through. That's why the psalmist could declare, why are you in despair, my soul? Hope in God. I will again praise him. I will again magnify his name. I can sense his presence all around me. I can declare his goodness. Romans 15, verse 12 says this. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul is here saying is that this God of hope, he's the one who fills us with joy and with peace in the midst of all sort of stuff. Because your confidence is in God, you're at peace and you have this joy bubbling up inside of you. And you know what happens? Because you're walking with God, your hope actually increases. He calls us to abound in hope. It's like because you're hooked into the source of hope, your hope increases even though things around you hasn't changed. The same people are ruling politically. The same dismal circumstances, the same high inflation rate, the same stuff happening, but yet still our hope is increasing in the Lord. We know that he's going to make a way. We know he's going to provide for his own. Why? He has done it in the past, and he doesn't change, and he said he will do it. Therefore, I can have hope. Let me go back to Psalm 42. Because sometimes when we're in despair, we have to find some way to get ourselves out. And this is what the psalmist is doing. Verse 2 of Psalm 42 says, my soul thirsts for the Lord, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where's your God? And so now I have to deal with myself. He says, these things I remember when I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with a throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving and a multitude keeping festival. I start to reflect upon on where I've come from. I start to reflect upon the good times I've had with the Lord and amongst the people of God. That's what he's doing. And he's like, I remember those times of celebration. I remember those times of sensing God's presence. I remember those times of experiencing God's peace. I remember those times of God breaking through. And so having remembered those times, I said to my soul, soul, what's wrong with you? Why are you in despair? Hope in God. The same God that you experienced in the past, the same God who turned things around, will again do things for you in the future. Therefore, declare the goodness of your God. Therefore, praise him despite the circumstances. I didn't fully understand this verse in Hebrews chapter 6. Until I started to recognize how the psalmist saw things. Hebrews 6, verses, 18 and 19. Can we get that on the screen, please? Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. It says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. And so what the writer here of Hebrews is saying, when he uses the word anchor, you all know that he uses the anchor when dealing with ships and boats, being upon the water. The anchor keeps it steady. Even when the waves are there, tossing and turning, the anchor keeps that boat steady. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, we have this hope in Christ. We have this hope that despite the waves around, despite the storms around, despite what's happening all around me, this hope keeps me steady. This hope keeps me afloat. This hope causes me to be able to continue no matter what's happening all around me. That's what he's saying. But if we take our eyes off the Lord and start to look on the circumstances as Peter did, and start to look upon things all around us and meditate upon them, then suddenly our hope is going to fade and suddenly you and I are going to start to sink. You see? But when we keep our eyes on the Lord, when we keep our focus on the Lord, and when we remind ourselves of the goodness of God, we remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, we remind ourselves of the Word of God, it keeps our soul. It's an anchor for the soul. So you're not going to your bed trying to sleep and you're worried and so you can't sleep. It's an anchor for your soul. The joy and peace that Paul talks about in Romans 15 becomes a reality for you, and you just go to your bed and you sleep. You wake up in the morning and you look at the news, you hear the news and you hear more bad stuff. That's all right. My confidence is in the Lord. My joy is not dependent upon the circumstances around me. My joy is dependent upon the relationship I have with Almighty God. And so hope, my friend, becomes an anchor for the soul. In these days, you and I need this anchor for the soul. In these days, the church needs an anchor for the soul. There should be, if the church really living with this hope, there should be a stark difference between the people of God and the unsaved. There should be. Because the unsaved have their hope in things. And things are failing them. We have our hope and confidence in the Lord. And He never fails. You see? And therefore, there should be a people walking around with peace. A people walking around with joy. A people walking around and able to smile. I remember being at seminary. And one young lady asked me, "Why are you always smiling?" I was in seminary in California amongst the Mennonite brethren. And she asked me, "Why are you always smiling?" And she thought I was smiling because there's something weird about her. And I'm like, "No, I didn't even realize you were there." But the truth is, when you're walking around with the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, it will affect your countenance. And if you don't believe me, let's look back at what the psalmist says there in Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 11. In verse 5, it says, you know, because of the Lord's presence. In verse 11, it says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." He's saying, as I put my hope and trust in the Lord, it affects my very countenance. It affects the way I walk. It affects the way I talk. It affects the way I function. That's why in 1 Peter, Peter says, we should be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us a reason for our hope. Because they are going to notice, they should notice a difference. And then we can tell them, say, "Listen, my hope and my confidence is in the Lord. You know, he sent His Son to die for me. He has cleansed me, He has washed me. I know where my future is. Plus, I know that He'll take care of the things concerning me, even in this life." Hello? Yeah. That's why they say that we really should preach the gospel, but use words if necessary. In other words, the way we live declares the gospel, so when they come and they ask a question now, you can explain it in more detail. That, you know, I'm not just happy by naturally. You know, it's not my disposition. No. It's because of my relationship with the Lord. It's because I've seen Him work in my past. And I've seen Him work even right here now in the present. And I'm believing Him for things in the future. Oh, help us. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 to put on hope as a helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8. Put on hope as a helmet of salvation. In other words, the hope, the helmet covers the head, covers the mind, the thoughts. That's where a lot of the battles take place, the battles of the mind. And so when we have this hope helps us to experience the victory in the battles of the mind, when the thoughts of the enemy comes. Because his thoughts, we know, are always negative. His thoughts are always saying things are going to get worse. God is not going to come through. His thoughts are always contrary to the word of God. But when your hope and your confidence is in the Lord, we can say, get thee behind me, Satan, you are a liar. God's word says this. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will always make a way where there seems to be no way. He will cause springs to come up in the desert. And so it helps us, I put here my notes, to even actually renew our mind. My wife and I have been talking about this recently. Even in Bible study, we were talking about it this last Wednesday. Because Paul says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? You see, and it involves meditating upon God's word. It involves trying to see things from God's perspective. It involves changing our worldview and recognizing who God really is. It involves, therefore, not entertaining in our thoughts any word, any way of thinking that is contrary to God's word. We can't afford it. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah 9 verse 11 says, as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. That's the word of the Lord. When he talks about the blood of my covenant, who is he talking about? You and me. And he's saying, because of my covenant with you, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been set free, but now we are prisoners of hope. We can't help it but have hope in the Lord. That's how we are supposed to live. We are locked in having hope in Christ. And so he's called us to return to that place of stronghold, in the presence of the Lord, spending time with him under the shadow of the Almighty. Return to that place. And trust him. Have confidence in him. He says that I will restore double to you. Whatever the enemy has taken from you, I will restore double for your trouble. It's all over the scriptures. So why would I be downcast? Why would I worry if I'm in a stronghold and my confidence and trust is in the Lord? And not only is he going to return what the enemy has taken, but he's going to give me double of whatever he has taken. But those who have hope will live in a particular way. This is what John says in 1 John 3. He says, 1 John 3 says, know are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And he says, he who has this hope in him purifies himself. Because we have hope in Christ, we walk differently. We can't afford to be bogged down with sin. We can't afford to get carried away with the heavy drinkers, and we can't afford to get into all sort of things that displease the Lord. And so we purify ourselves because we're walking with him. And he has called us to be holy as he's holy. And so you can know the people of hope by how they live their life. They're not trying to massage their hopelessness through all sort of sinful things. But rather, because they're in the presence of the Lord, they purify themselves so they can experience more and more of God's presence and God's favor. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come on back. One more scripture, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, down at verse 15. Many of you know in Jeremiah, the people of God were taken into captivity. And this is what it says in verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Many of you know that this scripture was fulfilled in Matthew when Herod killed the children under 2 years old. And the Bible says, thus the scripture was fulfilled. The scriptures are fulfilled when you have similar situations. You see, the scripture has been fulfilled again. And so, this is the Lord speaking then. You can see the scripture applies to us in the new covenant. Verse 16 says, thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. This is a promise to parents for your children and your grandchildren and those for whom you have responsibility, who have been drifted, who have been in all sort of stuff. They've been carried away by the enemy. And the Lord is giving us a promise here. And so he says in verse 17, there is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. You understand what I'm saying, saints? If you look at verse 15, they're fulfilled with what happened in the time of Christ. Then other things also apply to us. That your children, my children, your children, those who the Lord says they are holy unto him, but they have walked away from the Lord. They have drifted. Well, my confidence in God's word says that God is going to bring them back to their territory. God is going to turn them around. And so I can put my hope and my trust in the Lord, friends. Let me tell you a secret. It's an open secret. But humans can't change the hearts of other humans. In fact, you and I can only change a few things about ourselves. We really need the Lord to help us to get change in our own personal lives. And only the Lord can change things in the lives of other people. So you and I can't afford to put our hope in and trust in people bringing back our loved ones. Or in circumstances bringing them back. No, we have to put our hope and trust in the Lord who changes hearts. In the Lord who will visit them. In the Lord who will bring to pass his promises and his word. And so we don't get discouraged. The enemy doing all sort of stuff in their life. And we're like, you know what? I'm not even paying attention to that because my hope is in the Lord. And my hope is in his unfailing love. My hope is in his word. Lord, you said it. I believe it. You are going to do it. I'm taking the time frame off. And I'm believing you to bring them back. We're talking about the God of hope. The one in whom we put all of our confidence and our trust. The one who will always have the last say. Let us stand. My friends, it's natural to put our hope and confidence in people and in things, but we have to remind ourselves that those things, a horse, as strong as it looks, is likely to fail you. As strong as that horse looks, it's not the horse that brings the victory. We have to remind ourselves, Joe Campbell, don't put your hope and trust in these politicians. Yes, you have to vote. Yes, you have to put in people who fear the Lord. But you know what? I'm looking beyond them, and I'm looking to a Lord who can change the hearts of people. That's what needs to happen in this nation. Only God can change the hearts of people. Our nation becomes experiences or shows its depravity more and more and more each year. Only God can turn us back. And so my hope and my confidence is in God's promises of bringing a move of a spirit of revival in this nation. Let's just bow our heads this morning. I wonder, is there anybody in this house that need to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? You have wandered away from the Lord. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, this morning I want to recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord? And then there may be some of us Your hope has been waning. You're perhaps at the place where you're asking yourself, why are you so disquieted within me? Why is there some level of despair in my heart? And you're saying, Joe Campbell, will you pray with me that God will restore my hope and my confidence? If that's you, just raise your hand right where you're standing. Saying, Lord, please restore my hope and my confidence. I see several hands. Father, you see those hands. Lord, these are your children. Lord, who are putting their confidence in you. Lord, they have been discouraged. Lord, they had hoped that by now some things would have changed. But Lord, they haven't changed yet. And so Lord, this morning as they raise their hands towards you, Lord, I ask you, Father God, to fill them with fresh hope. That you, God of all hope, would restore their hope. And you, God of all hope, would cause their joy to increase. Their peace, oh God, to increase. That Father, out of what might seem nowhere, but Lord, we know it comes from you, from the Spirit, hope might arise in their own hearts again. To have confidence, to have faith, to believe in you, mighty God. Lord, do in their hearts, do in their inner man what only you can do, mighty God, the God of all hope. Increase your hope in you this day, I pray. Father, cause the helmet of hope to be on their heads. Father, it's the rebuke against those negative thoughts of the devil. And Lord, cause your eyes, oh Lord, not to be focused upon the circumstances, Lord, but your eyes to be focused upon you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, cause them to remember, Lord God, the ways which you have worked in the past. And that you are not a God that you should lie. That you are faithful to your word and you're faithful to who you are. So Lord, increase your confidence in you, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all your honor this morning. In Jesus' name.
Let faith arise and see the kingdom come. I lift my eyes, for the battle has been won. My God is faithful, and every single word He says is true. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There's nothing impossible for the God of miracles. Come, we need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles.
If you need prayer for healing, for guidance, prayer for anything, any concern. After we've closed, you may come on up front and there'll be people up here to pray with you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that our hope actually comes from you. Lord, I pray you might fill each of us with hope. Fill us up with hope, O God, and the things that come along with hope, the joy and the peace and the gladness. The confidence to purify ourselves because you're at work on our behalf. The confidence to know that you will cause all things to work together for good because we love you and we are called according to your purposes. Lord, a hope that keeps our soul stable and steadfast in the midst of storm, in the midst of rain, in the midst of wind. The hope, O God, that causes people to see a difference in our lives and become curious. The hope, O God, that is anchored in Christ and points towards a God who is faithful. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we ask you to go with us. We ask you, God, by your Spirit to continue to draw us unto yourself. Lord, we ask you, God, to help us as we interact with people to share the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you this morning for answering our prayers and for showing yourself strong on the behalf of your people. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.